Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good for this May 16th.
Well, where are we?
I was trying to say the 16th and the 23rd at the same time.
Same time.
I don't think I've ever done that. May 16th, 2023. Yeah, I couldn't do it all at once. Hope you guys are having a good start to your Tuesday. Mine's a little tongue-tied.
This is just a preview of how much is going to be crammed in the show.
That's exactly it. We have to combine words now. Actually, I'm going to be doing one topic while Melissa's talking about another topic.
Yes, right
just
at
so
the same time.
Everything. It's new radio, everybody. Yes. It's gonna be catch a wildfire.
You get twice awesome. At once.
We have got a fun one lined up for you today. We're going to get into our National Day of calendar in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. A little bit later, I want to touch on Crazy or Brilliant, someone padlocked their office fridge.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we got to get into that a little bit.
That's serious.
Not messing around. Not messing around at all with that one. We are got some other fun stuff this hour. Melissa's news will be in here. We, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, will kick things off with our great friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley will join us. Get a live and direct update about what Mother Nature has got in store for us.
Looking beautiful out there.
After we're done talking with Paul, I want to get into this thing that people are doing when they're nervous.
Ooh.
And I want to get into this study. We also have to get into destination weddings. That's coming up as well.
The bane of everyone's existence.
Yeah, yeah. That stuff in your 8 o'clock hour, you can look forward to. 9 o'clock hour, got some entertainment news for you. A couple of That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, including some local good stories of the day, blood drives, and some school concerts we want to tell you about. All of those things going on. Melissa is in studio today from Abbotsford. How was the drive-in?
Well, I avoided hitting a raccoon and a fox on the way in this morning.
My daughter appreciates that. That's really good. But
yeah, the raccoon was hanging out in my favorite. There's like one little tiny stretch of the drive that I just absolutely love. It's on County E, and it connects the two highways over near Pittsville. And it's just this pretty little spot that goes through the trees in between two fields, and there's always an animal there.
Yeah.
Every morning when I drive through.
Yeah.
The last two times it was a raccoon. I wonder if it's the same raccoon. I don't know.
You never know.
And then further along, Fox ran across the road. He decided to turn around and come back because he wanted to give me his full side view.
Yeah.
I didn't get his good side the first time, so he came back to give me the good side.
A lot of people don't realize this. Foxes, huge egos. Huge divas. Big
well,
time.
Well, he was very pretty.
Yeah, they have a reason. I mean, there's a reason why they're like this. You haven't seen a whole lot of bad-looking foxes.
That's true. But
where that term comes from, foxy. Looking foxy. Yeah. Lady,
it
comes from somewhere. I love that about Wisconsin. I don't care where you live in this state and where you're going. There, if you are going like a city over or a town over or a couple of towns over, there's a stretch where you're like, oh, I love this stretch.
Yeah,
there's
this specific spot.
Going from here to Point, there is a stretch there, a couple of stretches there where I just enjoy. I've been taking that trip since over 20 years, and it never gets old to me. Every time a year, there's a different thing to enjoy. You know,
that's the best thing because I got a picture at every time of the year so far
cool.
in that same spot, and I want to build, you know, a picture that has all four of each part of the season.
I like that. That's a really good
idea. I think it's going to be really pretty.
I love the idea. You see those pictures of people that recreate photos?
Yes.
Like the pictures when
they
were like
kids.
10. I'd love to do something like that with my brother and sister, but I am really I look so much older than my brother and sister, I feel like. I feel like I'm 10 years older than Nick, 5 older than Jill, but I feel like I'm 20. when I stand next to them and everything, they look so much younger than me.
Well, I'm trying to think of any pictures of me and my brothers that we could recreate. Most of them are swimming, and we're not doing those.
That's dangerous.
I wouldn't fit in the little round swimmy thing.
Nobody needs to do that to their confidence. Nobody needs that. That should be fun, though. Doing something like that seems like it would be fun.
Yeah.
And there's something about this area, especially you're going up north or you're coming from up north. It's just beautiful.
We have so many water features throughout Wisconsin that are just... they're beautiful.
It is a beautiful time of year. It is also a beautiful time of year to pull the grill out. Did that this weekend. Shout out to Aaron. Great cook. I wanted to get into it being National Barbecue Day.
Oh, Oh, right on.
We have got today our National Day of Calendar coming up in a little bit. Thought we'd get a little ahead of the game on this one and get people started because that's part of what we're doing. We keep you informed. Part of the information, what to eat today. Barbecue. There you go. Your dinner's covered.
Just in case you didn't know what to do.
Happy National Barbecue Day, everybody. It is always May 16th, but no one seems to know why. May has been National Barbecue Month since 1981, so they had to fit it in somewhere, I guess, I suppose. A new poll found, get this, this is part of the reason I wanted to start this off, because I actually think this is a good story of the day. 92% of Americans look forward to grilling season.
92%. Oh, yeah. I believe it.
It's a beautiful thing. That really gets me. That actually hits my heart. I'm like, oh, that is beautiful. we can get along, everybody. We can agree on certain things. We just got to find the right stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
The growing of grilling other things than meat, I think, has increased this.
Yes.
Your great segment yesterday, The Kitchen's Open, there were a couple of things in there that I made notes of. One of them I actually showed my mom and dad.
Oh, yeah?
The recipe that I was reading about the grilling.
Grilled romaine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we got to try this, you guys.
Like, I know. I was like, I absolutely need to try this. Cooked lettuce? Like, who would have thought?
It sounds really cool.
I
cannot wait to try that. So we're grilling all kinds of stuff nowadays. 84% of us hope we do it even more than we did last year. I feel that way every year.
Well, yes, because you never can get out there and grill enough. There's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, I've never gotten to fall where I'm putting on a windbreaker or something like that. Like, boy, grilled enough this year. Thank goodness. No, no. It's usually, did I make sure that I made all that? Did I make all that Italian sausage? Did I grill all that? I should pull the grill out. I should probably make, you know, that is one of the things I do love about grilling season. At the end of the season, you've usually got something left over. Well, I got to make it.
Right.
I've got to.
Well,
I don't want to grill. I have to. I cannot afford to waste this meat. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it's not right.
There are a lot of people that do grill practically year round now. Yeah. I mean, you kind of got to have the space for it, but it can be done.
I grew up with one of them. My dad was the guy.
As long as they're not out there in shorts.
Oh, no, never in shorts. But definitely, this is the man that it's snowing outside, but he wants burgers. So he opens he pulls his car out, opens the garage up.
Yeah.
So he can, that's my dad. Number one in this list as far as some quick stats on barbecue day. Most Americans think that they could get a grill started. 83% say that they could successfully get a charcoal grill going. 73% said that they propane grills. I'm a charcoal guy. My dad was a charcoal guy, so just handed that down. Still the same coals. you talk to a griller. That is one of those things that will come up, though, is what are you using?
Yeah.
What are you using over there?
Right. Yeah? What's your preference, gas or charcoal?
How long you had those in there? and then it will never fail. I don't care who it is. Whatever your response, I do something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I do. It's always something different. Hey, you going to flip that? You going to flip? There's always I've never dealt with backseat drivers, but backseat grillers all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
They're almost worse.
They are definitely worse. I will take a backseat driver any day over a backseat griller. Yeah. That's a new term, by the way, backseat griller.
I'm coining that one. You know, I did a game changer for me was the electric start.
Yeah,
for grill. Nice. It's just like a coil. It's an electric coil. Yeah. You plug it in and you put it under the charcoal, and then you don't have to use lighter fluid, which is awesome.
I've seen. Yeah, they sound awesome.
I don't like lighter fluid.
Yeah, yeah.
It leaves a flavor on your food.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I try not to use it if I don't even know the last time I did because of that. Because of that taste. I know I can taste it.
It's much harder to get it going without lighter fluid, unless you have one of these electric start things. That's really cool.
You could have some amazing, amazing meat, and butane will ruin it.
Yep.
Yeah. Number two, our favorite things to cook on a grill in order are burgers, chicken, hot dogs, and steak.
And they obviously didn't do this in Wisconsin because brats would have been number one or two.
At least in the top three.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. At least 50% of Americans said that they'd be fine eating any of those.
Mm-hmm.
50%.
Yeah. On a grill? Sure.
Yeah. We've been doing elections all wrong. We should just have everything in politics revolve around food.
Yeah.
I feel like we might actually get along a little bit better.
I think so.
No, we just have parties, the hamburger and the hot dog party. That's what we'd have. We'd have the hamburger and the hot dog party. And everybody would be like, you darn hot dog people. You silly hot dog people. Oh, well, at least I'm not one of you hamburger people. That's what we'd have.
With your charcoal grills.
We'd have that. We'd have it. One, our five favorite burger toppings. And I do actually think that we should change Democrats or Republicans to hot dogs and hamburgers now.
And then it'll just be the argument over who gets what.
Well, and I mean, how seriously can you take it if you're yelling at somebody for being a hot dog? How serious can... I mean, I think we might loosen up politics a little bit. I think we may have figured it out, Melissa. I think we figured it out. Our five favorite burger toppings in order. Cheese, ketchup, lettuce, tomatoes, and onion.
All good.
Pickles, mustard, and bacon also made the top 10.
I'm surprised bacon's not higher on the list.
I am shocked bacon's not higher. Yeah, yeah. I may be a little biased on that one.
Yeah.
Do you say barbecue or cookout? I think this is my favorite one. It might depend on where you grew up. People from the South and Northeast are a little more likely to say cookout. People out West and in the Midwest are likely to say barbecue.
Really?
Everywhere I've lived, that's been true. These things aren't usually right to me. I usually find the opposite. This one, I will say, I haven't spent a ton of time in the South, and I've never been in the Northeast. But I got a lot of friends and relatives out that way. And like my cousin, Nicole, she moved out to Boston 20-some years ago, and everything is Boston. Everything is with that, not so much the accent, but the language, you know, the terminology and stuff.
Lingo. I guess I kind of use all of them, and also grill out.
Mm-hmm. I think I just heard you say that, too.
Opposed to cookout, grill out. I don't know. I think they all mean the same thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes barbecue for me means like I'm picturing my grandma's barbecue on a bun. Like, you know, the ground beef with the tomato sauce.
It could be kind of teasing to say barbecue, but there's no barbecue in there. You're just making, you know, hot dogs or whatever or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
There's no sauce.
There's no sauce. You got to have that. You got to have that barbecue sauce on there. You got to have that. Whatever you're grilling today, have fun, enjoy, and make the most of National Barbecue
Day. It's
like
a beautiful day for it.
It really is. Mother Nature played along with today.
Yeah.
That's great. Nicely done. Thank you, Mother Nature. We'll be back with more of our National Day of Calendar here coming up on the Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there, everybody. It is time to dive into our National Day of Calendar. And it is, it's a great one to kick things off. It's Horse Rescue Day.
Oh.
I like that one.
Yes. Sad that it needs to happen, but also a good thing that there are people who do it.
Yeah. Horses are intelligent, emotionally sensitive creatures, support the rescue and care of neglected and abused horses, and the prevention of these crimes. If you see somebody abusing a horse or something like that, please say something. If you can donate to these causes, and I think one thing anybody can do is learn more about this. And then, you know, I don't think a lot of people in 2023 might think of something like this. You might think of it back in the 1823 or something like that. But it's still a problem. It's still an issue.
Well, absolutely, because a lot of people who think they don't realize the amount of responsibility that it takes to care for a horse.
I think that it's fair to say that one of the things that we hold up with so much pride here in our country, and really anybody, no matter what country you're from, but just talking about us here in the U.S., are our trailblazers. Are people that paved the way for where we could be.
Mm-hmm.
We make monuments of them. We put them on our money. We do all these different things. Horses are just along with this. This country is not where it is without horses.
No. No. Humanity wouldn't be where it is without horses.
End of sentence. Like, the least we can do is keep up what we're doing as far as, like, you know, holding true to trailblazers and these things by doing right by horses. Like, it's the same thing. There's no difference.
Right.
This country's nowhere without horses. We needed them. Anybody else going to be pulling, you know, that stuff or doing anything? Nah, we needed horses. Horses are amazing, by the way, too. And if you've never ridden a horse, do yourself a favor and ride a horse someday. God, it's amazing.
It is. There's a lot of power.
It's so fun. It's the closest I can ever imagine to what true freedom really feels like. It's something. National Biographers Day. Biographers keep histories of important figures, often digging deep into their past to keep that part of history alive. There's a part of me, and I think there's another version of me in a parallel universe or something like that, that is a biographer.
Yeah.
When I was little, before I even knew I wanted to be a writer, I used to talk to a lot of the homeless people outside of our high rise and everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the things my grandfather wanted, I was going to be well educated, James. I don't care what those schools have. You're going to be educated. And they had me read Uncle Tom's Cabin when I was 10 and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, he had me read a biography on Teddy Roosevelt. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. But it got me thinking about biographies and mm-hmm. why don't people, like these people I was talking to, one guy I remember was a veteran. It served in two different wars and all this. And here he was homeless now and everything. And there's a couple of different people that I can remember. And I still actually have the notes of because I started writing a book, Biographies of the Lost. Because I didn't understand why. Felt like everybody should have a biography.
Yeah, why is it only famous people?
Yeah, and it just got me really into, like, ever since then, I've really been interested by that story. I've been writing for years my mom and dad's story, and I'm writing it as like a narrator from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And kind of just carrying that, like there's those kind of stories. I think we could use more of. I think that there's nothing wrong with a famous person's biography.
No,
but I feel like you can pull from everyday life as it is. There's plenty mm-hmm. of people that are influences and have influenced you that aren't necessarily quote famous.
Well, and that's another thing to remember too. If you think about your own story and all of the nuances and the richness that has made you who you are at this point in your life, every single person around you has a similar story. Wow. I mean, it's very different than your own, but they have just as much history and just as much nuance and the things that you know, came together and happened to make them the person they are today.
That's a lot of what I was trying to say, but worded so much better. Maybe you should be the writer. Maybe you. That was a lot better said. I like that. Yeah. That was good. You're so right, though. Everybody's story deserves to be told. Everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're sitting there like, I got a boring life. What are you talking about? No, no, you got some interesting stuff in there. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
National Sea Monkey Day.
Ooh.
Did you ever have these things?
I did. I
oh,
had
did you? Okay.
Yeah,
oh.
I had them like once when I was probably, I don't know, like 7 or 8 or something like that. They were so cool.
I'm pretty sure Carl had them too. Otherwise, I don't know a lot of people that had these. Sea monkeys, a type of brine shrimp, make a popular children's pet that you can order, hatch, and raise at home, which helps kids learn responsibility.
I probably didn't learn responsibility because I don't remember what happened to them.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
and I don't know how long they live.
Sometimes our minds protect us from a tragedy.
Yeah.
You can still buy sea monkeys.
Oh, really? Is
yeah.
it the little plastic case with
yeah,
like the
yeah.
colored top and bottom?
It looks like the old
yeah,
school.
Yeah, I had the
like
red
these
one.
Things? Okay,
I had the
yeah,
red
you had
one.
The red one over here. Okay, I think my cousin had one of these. Now that I can
yeah.
see, now that I see it, I didn't know that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she had it going though. I think she just had the container. I don't know if there was anything in it. Wow, that is awesome that you can still buy them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to do this now. I never got to do it as a kid. Now I kind of want to. Do you remember? Why don't we have? I haven't seen this show up in our National Day of Calendar. What about those shrinky things? Things. The things that you had in the tub, like you put
oh,
the pill in the
like
tub
a little
and it blows
and
up
it blows
into a ship
a
or
foam.
A monkey.
Yeah.
Or, why did I choose ship? That could have went really wrong. Of all the words I could have chosen right there. Yeah, those things were cool too, though. Mm. I like those. We had those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sea monkeys. Quite fun. We're in the.
Well, you know what? I'm reading here that they're not actually. They don't exist in nature.
Huh.
Sea monkeys don't or didn't exist in nature before they were created in a lab by hybridization. They're known as Artemia NYOS, New York Ocean Science, and go through, that's a big word, or hibernation before they are dried out. Then with the right amount of mixture of water and nutrients, they can spring right back into life. That's mad science,
wow,
man.
Wow, that is. That really is. 424-2600. Did any of you have sea monkeys out
mm-hmm.
there? Call up and let us know. 424-2600.
And if you did, do you remember how long they lived?
Yes. That's part of the reason I wanted them to call in. Yes.
424-2600.
Call up, everybody. Popular in the 60s and 70s, sea monkeys are a, quote, pet that almost every child at one point had or another, or knew somebody that did. Not only were they very popular in the 60s and 70s, they also right through the 90s and noughts and aughts, too.
Hmm.
Knots. they missed a mark here. I feel like they should have called them sea shrimp, like they're brine shrimp. They said could have called them sea shrimp. It just, I don't know. Monkeys,
it's because of their tails.
Yes, that makes sense. National.
And they've even been to space.
That's true. Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right. I forget which blast it was.
Space Shuttle Discovery.
Okay, yeah,
with
that's
John
the
Glenn.
One. Yes, that's
in
it.
1998.
And that was the second time Glenn went up, I believe. Right? Yeah. It was. Yeah.
They were unaffected by their space travels and hatched healthily.
You imagine going to space twice? like John Glenn, like in the stretch of time between all the things that must have changed. Between that first flight and that's amazing. Just amazing. Mm-hmm. What a hero. What a human being. National Waiters Day. We appreciate you, waiters.
Oh, waiters. Okay. I was thinking like waiting in water for some reason.
yes,
what came to mind.
We appreciate those too. They help people like me that would float away without it. National Waiters Day. We've all known great waiters.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing. They do so much off the top of their head. They remember your complete order. They get it all right, and they do it all while smiling and dealing with jerks.
Yes.
Tip your waiters, appreciate waiters.
Mm-hmm. Food service is a difficult industry to work in. And for those who have worked as a waiter, waitress, server, whatever you choose to call it, you're juggling a lot of plates, literally, all at the same time.
Yes, yes. that worked out for you there. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. National Piercing Day. Adding a touch of sparkle to your look has never been easier. With a variety of styles and colors, you can express yourself with perfect accessory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any issues at all with piercing, but I will say nowadays it's more surprising to me when I think it's actually more you stand out more if you don't have piercings than if you do.
Well, it's definitely had a rise in popularity, I would say, over the last 20 years and also acceptability.
Oh, I mean, that latter part, yes.
If you look back over the, you know, the culture, human history, you know, piercing had its place way, 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 way back.
Yeah.
Before civilization, almost. And then there was this period of time, and I would say probably, the 1500s or probably before that, to the late 18, early 1900s, where it was very much frowned on.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to be a pirate, pretty much, to have a piercing.
Piercing, whether in the ears or other parts of the body, comes with a history that dates back thousands of years. In fact, the oldest evidence of ear piercings were mummified remains from at least 5,000 years ago. And nose piercing can be traced back to as far as 1500 BC.
Ha! See, told you, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Cultures such as Native Americans, Alaskans, Indians, and Africans have been connected with piercings.
And it was part of their culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do it now as a form of self-expression. Not all of us.
Yes.
Some people still do it as part of their culture. But people like me, who I don't feel like I have a claim to a culture.
No, I get that.
I'm basically a mutt.
Yeah.
You know, I can't trace my genealogy back very far, but it is something that I chose to do.
I don't think my family did it as much as it was in my own head. But when I was young, when my dad's side of the family, I wasn't Italian enough. When my mom's side of the family, didn't feel I was Jewish enough. And in between those things, on my dad's side, there's the Egyptian as well. And when I was young, I read up a lot about Egyptian culture and trying to understand that more. And one of the things that I read was how men at 16 would pierce both their ears. And so I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, that doesn't help you a lot as an actor when you're trying to be a blank slate and all these things. So I got rid of them shortly after that. But I had that for a while, a couple of years at least. Otherwise, those are the only piercings I've ever had and probably ever will have, to be honest. Tattoos are one thing for me, but piercings, I just never wasn't my thing. I don't mind it in other people. I think certain people look fantastic with it. I've never really seen it look horrible on somebody. I to each their own. I do feel like, though, it's got to limit your flying ability. Like, you go to the airport and everything and have to take all those out, like, right, just to go through that little walkthrough thing. Like, that does seem
you
like a
hassle. You don't have to do that.
No,
it's more about a medical procedures.
Yeah.
If you have to go in for any kind of anything where you get anesthesia, then yes, you have to take them all out.
You know that surgical steel that you can use to put them in sometimes? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of that. It was really big in, like, the late 90s, early aughts and everything. But I had the last time I had piercings in, I had them in, and I was working on the air. And I realized, after my, I got like 20 minutes after my shift ends to get to the play. We were doing the plays over at the McMillan at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm panicking because my character obviously does not have piercings or anything like that. So Travis, and a shout out to Travis doing his morning show probably right now. Listen to us, everybody. And I love Travis. We talk all the time. He is sitting there with a pair of pliers trying to get them out while I'm talking on the air.
Oh, my.
And I've only been in radio for like a couple months at this point. It's really hard after that to get too bent out of shape or get too bent out of shape. That was right. Yeah, or get too nervous or anything like that with right. when everything, whatever else comes.
When it's that tense and you're trying to accomplish something. Yeah.
Let's see here. Drawing day. That's a good one.
Yes.
Drawing
whether you
fun.
Can draw or not, it's okay. I like to doodle. I'm not great at drawing, and most of the time, anything I try to draw doesn't really turn out.
Really?
So
that surprises me.
Well, like actual draw. Like I can't do eyes.
Okay.
I can't do faces.
Hmm.
I can draw a tree or a flower, but...
I couldn't draw a straight line. I can't even make a stick figure. Like, if the fate of the world depends on me drawing a stick figure, I'm sorry, everybody. We had a good run. It's over, though. It's not going to happen. I am bad at drawing. It's part of why I think I admire so much people that can draw. That
yeah. Oh, I absolutely admire. My youngest brother is an amazing artist, and he's better than he thinks he is.
And that seemed to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there and you watch these people that are so good at these things, and they just sit there, oh, this is terrible. Like,
do you see what you're doing?
Yeah,
this is amazing.
I spend my whole life doing what you just did in 5 minutes and never even come close. Like, you're great. You're good.
But I like to doodle. And,
yeah.
You know, just kind of mindless doodling drawing is a really good way for me, especially if I'm trying to listen to something that I need to focus on. It helps me.
I'm really bad at drawing, but I like to draw.
Mm-hmm.
I like to doodle. I'm with you. I like to do that stuff. Nothing I ever do is worth showing anybody, but I do like doing that.
Yeah, and it's not for anybody to see because it doesn't really look like much, but...
I made a rock hopper penguin the other day.
Oh.
It's a penguin. It's a rock hopper penguin with a mohawk and sunglasses.
Nice. So
it looks horrible. It looks horrible.
Nothing wrong with that.
National Mimosa Day. Sip on sunshine in a glass with a bubbly citrus mimosa, perfect for brunch or any celebration, really. And why not have your mimosa with barbecue, because it's also National Barbecue Day. I don't know if those two go together, but why not find out?
Yeah, give it a go. Let us know.
Give it a go. Let us know. And also let us know if you had sea monkeys. We want to find out.
Let us know if you had sea monkeys.
424-2600. We will take a break for now. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with more fun on the show and right here on WFHR locally grown radio.
And now, Pigs in Space!
Yes. Welcome back, everybody.
Starring the fatuous Captain Link Hogthrob.
Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. That classic Muppet Show's Pigs in Space intro leading us into our next topic. I couldn't help myself. Couldn't help it. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. Yes, we're going to space for destination weddings.
Okay.
I'm
glad you explained yourself.
Uh-huh. I was going somewhere.
Okay.
It took me a while to get there. Had to go around a couple blocks, take a turn, take another left, and then we got there.
Okay, I think we also headed down an alley.
Yeah, we did. And we got lost, too. Here's the most expensive destination wedding you could ever be invited to. Weddings in space.
Whoa.
Are going to be a thing really soon. A high-altitude balloon company called Space Perspective is doing wedding packages and plans to start sending people up by the end of next year.
No way.
You can launch from land or from boat or at sea. The whole thing lasts about 6 hours, but most of it is just getting up there and coming back down. It's a little like the whole, you know, the journey is part of the adventure kind of thing.
Yeah.
For the first 2 hours, you slowly ascend to 100,000 feet, so the edge of space, but you won't actually be weightless. After that, you get 2 hours to hang out and get married up there. Then you slowly return to Earth and splash down in the ocean. It'll have to be a small wedding since the capsule only seats 8 plus the pilot, and it's not cheap. $125,000 per guest.
Whoa. Whoa!
So if you book all 8 seats, it's a $1 million wedding.
Oh my gosh.
There's a refundable deposit of $1,000 per guest to reserve a spot.
Oh, nice.
If we can find that in the couch cushions, that'll be no problem. What the what, man? But if you want to be the first couple married in space, you'll probably be out of luck. They've already had a ton of requests for that.
No way.
Boy, oh boy. I just thought it'd be good, nice to go somewhere warm.
We've talked about spending a ridiculous amount of money on a wedding. This is more about, and all of those are really, more about the wedding than the marriage.
Yeah.
You know, well like, said. Yes. I want to marry the love of my life. Mm-hmm. And what better way to do that than spend $1 million flying to space?
Yeah. Why buy a house? Why buy some land when we could have this that, you know, I mean,
you just got to be so filthy rich. It doesn't matter. $1 million is a drop in the bucket for you to be able to do something like that. And then what? Do they have oxygen masks on during the ceremony?
Those wedding pictures are going to look really funky.
Yeah.
They're really weird. Now, I will say I love dancing. So the idea of dancing in space sounds like a lot of fun. Like as somebody who likes to break dance and everything, like I would love that. I could do all the moves I used to be able to do, I would think. But at the same time, I can't get past the idea of like, okay, we go somewhere. I want to have my wedding or whatever. It seems so funny to say that, but let's say in some parallel universe, I was going to have a wedding or something. Somewhere warm sounds pretty nice. It's a nice area. It's a nice location. You know, you can do other things other than the wedding. I bring my parents to, you know, wherever, they're going to be able to enjoy the ocean and other things. So the trip, you can make the argument, it's not just you're paying for the wedding, you're paying for the experience and all this.
And it's usually then a small amount of people.
Yeah. Like you're something not... like this. What are you going to, you go up to space and you float a little bit and it's all black and darkness. Like, what are you really
getting
out of it?
Although your view looking down is probably pretty impressive. So you said balloon. So I'm picturing like hot air balloon.
Yeah, like 80
in
or 80 days around the earth or something.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
So obviously they're inside, Melissa.
Yeah, right.
Probably have oxygen inside the room.
I like where you're going with it, though. I was just going to roll with it. I like it.
And everybody was wearing Victorian style outfits and top hats.
Please.
But then there were the oxygen masks. It was very steampunk.
It's very. It had a real steampunk vibe to it. I changed my mind completely about this. It just seems like a lot to do for nothing. You get up there, and you're right about the view looking down. That'd be pretty amazing.
It would be cool to do, just like to do it. I wouldn't want to do it to get married.
No. I don't know. There's too many things that my romantic heart would want to experience, wedding-wise, that I don't feel like you could really do up in space. I don't know. The smashing the cake in somebody's face might be a little different. That's going to be there. It might be you know, I don't know.
Because, yeah. I mean, if you're up there for 6 hours, you got to have some food. Right.
And it's all astronaut food. Everything is that, yeah.
Dehydrated.
The bride, she planned this real, like, 5-course meal kind of thing. They get up there.
NASA scientists turned it into sludge.
Yes, yeah. That'd be kind of funny.
Here's your 5-course meal in one squeeze pack.
Yeah, right. Here's the other thing, too. Weddings, like, you plan, something goes wrong. Every wedding in human history, something's going to go wrong. Something big, something small, something, you know, or another.
Uncle John overslept.
Yeah, you know, it's always something like
that. We missed
our
window.
Yeah.
And now we can't go.
With something like this, you can't afford to have anything go wrong. No. There is no, you know, other way, it's a whole different experience if any, like, one little thing goes wrong. So
I mean, granted, it's only 8 people, so that would be easy.
I just feel like you're really like, you know,
and
what?
3 of those slots are already taken because you got the bride and the groom, or the groom and the groom, or the bride and the bride, and then the officiant. You got to have those 3.
Yeah. I am, again, one of the more romantic fools walking the earth, and I will be the first to say that I'd rather get married at the courthouse and just put that money into a house or something like that.
Or into a nice trip for like a honeymoon or something like that.
I'm not against a nice wedding. I just something like this is a little too far for me. It's
seems
a little too
excessive.
Yeah, yeah, a little too much. But I think you had it right in the beginning. It's, you know, you get that kind of money to burn. You know, it don't matter. It don't matter. Right. I guess. I mean, you know, who's one of the? Why be one of those people that helps out other less fortunate people when you could go to space and get married? And,
sure.
And if you're that rich, chances are it's not your first wedding.
Probably not.
Take a break. Come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got some new bumpers here.
I see that.
I'm liking this. Nicely done, Seth, our head of production. Nicely done.
Behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes.
Melissa and James here with you. And we got a, we do our That Ain't Right stories. We do our good stories of the day. Every once in a while, I like to do a huh, or a weird story of the day, or look at that, or
make
I
you
don't
think.
Know. Just, yeah, okay. Those kind of things. This is one of those ones. There are memes about how movies have been have made drinking milk the universal symbol of psycho villains. Stealing milk. Everybody at work, you've got the the refrigerator that everybody uses, and somebody's stealing the milk out of there, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So is this person crazy or brilliant that did this? Someone posted a photo from their office fridge where someone had literally padlocked their milk. The cap required a key to be opened, but technically there wasn't anything preventing a thief from taking the whole thing. The idea was clearly to deter theft of any kind. Some people commented that it was petty because it's just milk, but most people said it was justified, just like securing your personal items in a locker, especially if there have been issues with the communal working fridge. I'm going to show Melissa a picture of said milk padlocked, and it's right there. Well, that is the weirdest bottle of milk I've ever seen.
I don't even know how to describe that.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about that. What kind of milk is that? Look at that. Hold.
Oh, so they've got a special lid on it.
They got a special lid. Okay.
That then they can loop it around the handle and put the padlock on it. That's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. It also seems like it took a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. Like, you really have, you are done with people taking your, how bad of a problem is
that's
this?
That's just really rude, though. Who goes into a communal fridge at work and goes, what can I steal today?
That's tacky. I hear you on that.
Terrible.
That's tacky. Yeah. That ain't right. The time that this person took to do this, though, I don't know. That might be a that ain't right one, too. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit, but obviously their milk gets stolen quite often, and that's not cool.
I'm not sure what it is about people doing that. I've never had an inkling. I open a fridge and look in there and take something any more than I go to my friend's house and, hey, grab something out of there. And I grab something out of there and I'm like, well, you know, I'll grab some more. Like, I don't know.
I go over to Laura's house and she's like, well, just, you know, eat whatever in the fridge. I'll go in the fridge. I'm like, okay, but can I have this specific thing?
Right,
like, is it okay if I eat this?
Yeah.
Like, who knows? My mother was such a... I mean, we had to, you know, watch every cent when we were growing up. And if she had something planned for a meal, like we didn't eat stuff out of our own fridge when I was a kid because, you know, God forbid you ate something mom had planned to include in a recipe the next day. You were in big trouble.
Yeah. I would say that one of my bigger things, because I drove my Nana Papa crazy with this, where I was living with them for years. I, you know, was the first male grandchild. I was pretty liked by them. Mm-hmm. They loved me pretty good.
Well, yeah, they're your grandparents.
Can I grab a glass of water? Can I grab this? Can I grab Jimmy, just grab it. For the love of God, just grab
it. It's just water.
It's just water. There's polite, and then there's annoying people. There's,
yes, there is. But when it comes to other people's food in your work fridge, don't take it.
No.
It's not cool.
No.
Your roommate's food in your, you know, fridge at home, still not cool. Don't take it.
No. Not a good idea. So I wanted to do it earlier, but I was really hoping to find this sound. Denmark's mysterious tremors caused by acoustic waves from unknown source. We go to Copenhagen for this one, where a series of minor tremors recorded on the Danish Baltic island of Bornholm Saturday has puzzled scientists, who now say they were caused by acoustic pressure waves from an unknown source.
Okay.
At first, the tremors were thought to have been caused by earthquakes. Then seismologists theorized that they originated from controlled explosions in Poland, more than 140 kilometers or 90 miles to the south. On Monday, the Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland, an official body that monitors the underground, said the tremors were not caused by earthquakes, but by pressure waves from an event in the atmosphere.
Hmm.
I mean, however, they came from an unknown source.
Oh.
The seismologists can report that it is unlikely that the tremors originated from a controlled explosion in Poland, which was carried out shortly before the first reports of tremors. So they're not saying that that isn't the cause of them, and that it's not the earthquakes that is not a cause of these. Hmm. They do not know where these things are coming from. That's pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah.
I
one of those mysteries that you would like to explain.
It seems like, you know, for a little while there, it wasn't too long ago, we were just looking for any excuse to throw the terms UFOs out there. We had the lights in the sky, and we had this going on, and this. UFOs! Mm. And now we got something like this that generally, like, I'm not saying it's UFOs, but it's something unknown.
Yeah.
It's something weird, something going on. And
interesting.
But nobody's not talking about it. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, UFOs come from the sky,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? This seems to have caused the ground to shake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what if they've been here the whole time?
Living in the core of the earth?
Yeah, that whole thing with the mole people and stuff.
Oh, come on, James. The mole people.
I made the mistake of years ago, I was sitting there doing some grading with a teacher from Second City, and this is a person who I did not know that well. And I made a joke about mole people. And this is one of my like go-to jokes as far as conspiracy theories to make fun of and everything. Mm-hmm. I make this joke, and this person sets their pen down and takes their glasses off and begins to spend the next half an hour telling me how mole people exist and all this stuff and everything.
Whoa.
And they're like down there. I'm like, you teach people? It's all that's going through my head in the back. I don't care if it's just improv comedy. Like, I don't even know. I don't trust them to even teach that. I don't know. It's a very interesting conversation.
Well, you just found their conspiracy.
I found the one person that I've never run into anybody who genuinely believes in any of that jargon, but the one person they happen to be a teacher that teaches improv.
Or they just threw together the most awesome skit ever and really pulled one over on you.
I'm glad you said that, because this is the thing with something like that. I didn't know. I wasn't sure. I've spent the first couple of minutes, and like, is he pulling my leg? Is he just messing with me? And then all of a sudden it starts getting really serious when he starts getting like energy and everything. I'm like, no, this guy's not kidding. And he was actually kind of like forced to retire after a little while because of some stuff that happened off field and everything I don't want to get into. That guy was weird. and we're talking like all weird teachers. It's like there's no normal teachers that teach acting, okay? None of us are normal. I'm one of them, and I ain't normal. It really says something when you stand out like that.
Sets the bar high.
Yeah. They say that this the cause of this, while they have no connection of it or anything, that it's something that they are going to be keeping an eye out. And this did affect over 40,000 people.
Wow. Yeah, well, when you get that many people that know about it, they definitely want some answers.
One more here for you, everybody. And I know that I am a homer, and that there are very few people out there care much about Chicago or anything like that. And I tend to ramble sometimes about it and everything. But I'll say this. Over the weekend, there was some body shaming going on in my fair city. There's this little snapping turtle. Well, not little. This snapping turtle that was captured on video that went viral. And everybody's calling him Chunkosaurus.
He is a little chunky.
He is a little chunky. I mean,
but he's very turtle-like.
He's very turtle-like. So those.
And, And in Turtle World, perhaps that is the epitome of beauty.
I agree. This is what I wanted to say. See, we're the same page. This is where I wanted to go. I like curves. I think that they're sexy. I mean, who's to say that turtles wouldn't find this chunkosaurus sexy?
Mm-hmm.
Footage of a plump, snapping turtle relaxing along a Chicago waterway has gone viral after the man who filmed it, the well-fed reptile, marveled at its size and nicknamed it Chunkosaurus. If you get a chance to see that video, it is pretty good. I don't know many things I've ever seen in life that look more comfortable or relaxed or happy to be than this turtle.
Yeah, than a turtle on a warm rock.
If I could spend one moment of my life feeling as good about myself as this turtle seems to.
And isn't he, like, because of his size, didn't they determine him to be pretty old?
Yes, yeah. I had that too. I want to say they... They said in like 50 to 80, I want to say something
wow.
like that. It's not in this article for some reason. But yeah, it was somewhere between there, I thought I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it just theoretically wouldn't have been able to get that size without that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just an interesting story, though, and a fun little guy.
Yeah.
Be sure to check that out. Everybody should make you
just
smile.
Stay out of his path.
We're going to get to a live update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. When we come back, we're going to talk about something we do when we're nervous and get into that a little bit with our morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio.